Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This is the week for the Jimmys and the Joes.
Thought about taking a little person into the backfield and throwing them over the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, in short yardage situations. Now, there are several issues with this in that it's not legal at all.
This is a Draft Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Get $2,000 off a new energy efficient system now through May 31st. Call or visit aeheatingandcooling.com.
You can't just sit there and just say, all right, we're just going to throw them over the top. Is this like a read play where you're trying to figure out where he go, like where the weak spot is, and then you toss him over?
Yeah. Do you go over center? Do you go over guard or tackle?
Yeah, I think it's a read play.
Direct snap.
Are we talking a sweep?
Draft Week with Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Hey,
we got one day till the NFL draft. We're getting ready. Nobody's going to be drafting anybody to Mike Leach. As that conversation made it to our 12 o'clock open, Jeff Rust, of Mike Leach wanting to get a little person to throw over the line of scrimmage.
Talking Jimmys and Joes.
I guess never did I ever think that would have made it into an open. But here we are. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive.
It's the simple things in life.
Yeah. Like, how are we doing
to
today?
Little people.
How are we doing today? We good?
Doing good.
We good?
Sun's still shining.
Yeah. It's getting warmer. Getting warmer. Today and tomorrow, I think, are going to be warm. And then, of course, Oregon's going to be like, enjoy the nice weather when
during the week.
Working. Okay. We're going to go back to regularly scheduled rain on the weekends when
are we getting it again?
Be outside. Yeah, not a lot. Not a lot.
God dang it.
Not a lot. But
I don't like
it. Some. I've been hawking the weather now. You know, because I'm old. That's what we do.
That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
If for nothing else, because, you know, tee times.
No, I'm not golfing. And I haven't been golfing in a really long time. Look, I don't want to talk about it. It's been a long time.
Oh, do we need an intervention here?
Yeah, I need time to go golf. That's the thing. Hey, we got kids sports and we got like
family neglect is a real thing.
Oregon spring game is this weekend, so I'm going to be outside. So I've been looking at weather for that. It's followed by a top 15 baseball game at PK Park right there. Like, let's go. I'm looking forward to it. That's going to be fun. Oregon State baseball game after the spring game. No better time to be outside, and it's going to be raining. There we go. Yeah. All right. Well, here we are. My son is entering a talent show at school.
What's the talent?
He's not telling us.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah. We don't know. He doesn't have musical talent that we know of, but we did get an email from one of his little buddies' moms that said part of the talent show wants to his buddy wants to show off his football skills with another friend, and you know, the mom was like, hey, could this be your kid? And we're like, there's probably. So I'm just wondering what this looks like in a talent show setting.
It's just going like full Napoleon Dynamite.
I don't know. Are we just going to have just on the stage throwing bombs and just jumping onto a pad? What are we doing here?
You know, like, what it is? It's Pro Bowl. It's Pro Bowl.
I bet it is.
That's what it is.
They're going to have to bring out the Hulk hands and try to catch a football with the Hulk hands?
With wrestling mats? I like it.
Where are they going to procure these mats, though? I don't know if they've thought this through. And I don't... Look, he's not going to tell us about it because I know he doesn't want us there. He will not want us to be there because he just rolls that way. But I'm wondering what this is going to be. And I'm intrigued by this. I'm intrigued by what... Are they going to try? Because one thing he likes to do, which could be very dangerous for a talent show setting, now that I'm thinking about this, he likes to spin the ball and then kick it. Like, he's going to just kick that out into the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And is that the football skill? What are we going to be seeing here from 2 second graders showcasing their football skills?
Yeah, the danger that is possible here is quite high.
Yeah.
But also, you kind of have to love the fact that he's not afraid to get out there.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. Good, bad, or otherwise, if your kid wants to be out front and center, yeah, it's usually kind of a good thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if other people have this, though, but sports, my son, totally fine. Parents watching, grandparents come, go do it. School events, nope. It's like he has, it's like a second life that he lives at school, and he wants us
separate,
as far away from it as he possibly can. Mm. And I've come to find out it's because he's really well behaved at school.
Oh, doesn't want you to know that he can do it.
I think there is a little bit of that because he's a great kid, but we hear and it's like, oh, so these problems aren't happening. No. All right. Cool. I think he's going to low key. I don't think we will ever hear about this until he gets home from school. And I'm proud of him for that.
Mm.
I'm proud of him for that. But we've just been tipped off because there's no other kid that it could be, except for my son, that would do this with the other kid.
Okay.
It's
Did you ever do anything
talent show?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see here. I got roped into a dance for Coolio's Fantastic Voyage.
There you go. I'm in.
Did that, choreographed and everything. Other than that, oh, yeah, I did, like, we had some kids that started a battle of the bands in middle school. Problem was, our middle school only had two bands, so they needed to make other bands.
Gotcha.
So I slapped the bass.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Slapped the bass for Brain Stew.
Mm. I like that.
Really easy for me. They tried something more difficult, and we were all gung-ho about something more difficult. And then the kids who actually played instruments were like, you guys can't do that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, this is going to be a non-starter for you guys. So, Brain Stew was it. And then, which also, not appropriate for a middle school battle of the bands, but it was a different time. They let it go.
Mm.
We had to lobby for it. And basically lobbying for is, we don't know how to play anything else.
Mm.
We're just doing this so this battle of the bands can be a thing.
Gotcha.
You know? Other than that, no.
Okay.
No talent shows for me.
Middle school is the only one I remember breakdancing.
Yeah, did do a breakdancing to Ice Ice Baby with one of my buddies.
Eighth grade.
Again, that was another middle school one where they're like, we need one more act. And so we were like, all right, we went to Ross Dress for Less, got a couple of jumpsuits that matched.
There you go.
They were Fila. They were sick. They were like $10. And then we don't know how to break dance. Mm. So we just did some belly slides, head spins, and we shaved ice in the back of our heads.
Wonderful.
It was great. It was terrible.
Mm.
But
in the best way.
You know, we were there so the talent show could go on.
Yeah.
You know, we were the appetizer, and we knew that. Yeah. We knew our role.
I hit some windmills.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, did you?
Yeah. No, I actually was halfway decent.
That breakdancing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a buddy who was incredible.
Okay.
I mean, he ended up going to, Juilliard?
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was an incredible dancer.
All right. So, no, I, no talent shows for me that were of consequence or that I was actually trying to win. Kind of sounds like my kid, to be honest. You know? He's just like, yeah, I'll do it.
Sure, whatever.
I'm not going to tell my parents about it. I'm not really going to tell anybody about it.
We had to do a makeshift one for an English class. A buddy of mine skipped a bunch of class. Was it sophomore year? And our teacher was actually really cool. She gave us an opportunity to basically save our bacon. And we had to do like a video presentation I can't remember. It might have been something to do with Romeo and Juliet, but we ended up doing like a music video.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
And it was like four different songs. And the one I remember is No Scrubs.
Oh, heck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
You want No Scrubs?
Oh, yeah. We went, full boy band in No Scrubs video. Because I think there was a boy band song in there, too. So we had the poopy shells and the earrings and the white tank tops that go by a different name.
Wow. Yeah.
So that video's out there floating around somewhere.
Yeah, I feel like...
Shout out my guy, Jared Grant.
Actually, there is it is on YouTube somewhere because it came back to me. Mm. There was a Dare. Remember Dare?
Oh,
remember
yeah.
Dare?
Yeah.
Remember when we were still fighting drugs?
Yeah. We won.
Yeah. We declared victory on that.
RIP Officer Dan.
In Dare, we had our Dare graduation, and like they just gave us like what we did, right?
Oh, drugs?
And that's a good catch by you. Mm. No, they gave us like all of the bits that you were going to do during Dare, right? And one of them was a rap song. And I was given a rap song where I believe it was like, I think my words were like, pop a can of beer and take a couple rips. I was in like sixth grade, Dare? Is that what it is? I was a Dare valedictorian, by the way.
Oh,
that's on the internet, though, is me rapping that as a young sixth grader. Yeah, my lines were, and I was like, all right. I just had to memorize the lines, and there we go.
I think we need more McGruff the Crime Dog.
We do. Where did McGruff go?
Like, you don't have to, if you're going to kill off Dare, fine, but McGruff is timeless.
You know what killed McGruff?
Hmm.
Trench coat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, now
trench coat,
it's like
Mafia, Combine, and then the
the
pedo flasher thing.
Yeah, flashers. Yeah. Like, I mean, McGruff was a dog.
He's so bulgy, like a moose.
Wearing he was wearing a trench coat, and it was all buttoned up, and you're like, I know you're not wearing clothes under there.
Yeah.
You know?
Can we take trench coats back?
No.
No?
I don't think we want to.
Do we?
Mm-mm.
I mean, Inspector Gadget wore a trench coat.
No. No.
I think we can think of more positive trench coats in pop culture than negative ones.
Oh, I don't think you could.
You don't think so?
No.
No? Mm-mm. Just because the negative ones are so bad?
Yeah. Where are you going to go? Inspector Gadget, yeah. Dick Tracy, yeah. McGruff the Crime Dog. I mean, that's three.
Is that the list?
That might be it.
Wasn't Columbo a trench coat guy?
Yeah. And there's a difference between a trench coat and a duster, so you can't go Western films, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, a duster is different than a trench coat.
Right.
Do you want to go Bogard Humphrey? I think he wore one, right?
It's
or Humphrey Bogart. Jeez, what am I doing?
It's a lot of
Humphrey Bogart.
It's a lot of the Bogart same Humphrey. Ones as far as like Green Hornet.
No, we said good ones.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of not great ones. John Constantine.
Yeah, the
comic books.
The fan text line at 503-864-6326 is just gonna light up with all the negative ones.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be aggressive.
So Sherlock Holmes is on there.
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes is a good one, so we're up to four. To four?
You said Dick Tracy, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, it's...
See, there's no... Oh, George Costanza. Well, no, he tried to bring the trench coat back.
Yeah.
It did not go.
Boy, I'm going through the list, and it's just not great.
I'm telling you, you're not... The negatives, we can't bring the trench coat back.
Yeah, it's tough. A lot of villains in the trench coat, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, April from Ninja Turtles. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
So that's five.
Nick Fury.
Yeah. All right,
Avengers.
So two of them are cartoon characters. Yeah. And look, let's talk about April real quick. She's an adult news reporter.
Indeed.
Hanging out with teenage boy turtles.
Yeah. This is like one step away from a high school teacher.
Who were all trying to woo her, and she played into it.
Yeah, and a sketchy dude.
The sketchy rat dude?
No. What was the surfer bro? Casey. Oh, God. Casey no. James?
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember him now. Yeah, I don't think we can
Casey
bring back
Jones.
I don't think we can bring back the trench coat. We can fire off a bunch of negatives. This one, Casey.
Yeah.
Inspector Gadget seemed like a flasher as well. No, he just had to hide all the gadgets.
Yeah. Well, go, Gadget.
All right. Boy, that took a turn for us here.
I'm good at that.
Trench coats. Trench coats. We can't bring back the trench coat. It's long gone.
It's just probably not advisable.
Yeah. I think that's a losing cause. 10 out of 10.
Ooh, Neo from the Matrix. All of them. Him, Morpheus, Trinity.
Yeah.
They really went full trench coat mafia on that.
And we're calling that a good look.
I mean, I never got it, but people loved. What's her name? Who, the actress that plays?
Carrie Ann Moss.
Carrie Ann Moss. It was like a full-on Gillian Anderson thing. Mm. Like, don't be wrong. They're both attractive women, but I never got why either of them like rose to the level of like salacious stardom that they did.
Yeah.
Like, that was a kink that really got it for a lot of people.
No, I'm
spandex
out.
And leather and trench coats.
I'm out on that one.
I mean, it is like soft dominatrix, I
Okay,
guess.
I'll go bad. I'll go bad real quick.
Mm.
Later, turd nuggets.
I was going to say...
Grandma's boy, that's not good. That's not good. He was made fun of the entire time.
So did you know, like, a lot of those lines was just Nick Swartzen yelling stuff to him off camera and him improvising it?
Oh,
I
really?
I literally just happened to see this pop up on the algorithm the other day. 20 years ago, that movie came out.
Oh.
And the guy that plays that character, I can't ever remember his name.
But he was Southern Oregon alum.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
But he goes, you know what? Out of all the stuff in my career, the people, like, the thing that gets quoted to me the most is lines like, how did he see me?
Yeah.
Like the whole invisible thing was like, they needed a scene.
Yeah.
To get to the next scene. And they were like, just pretend like you're invisible.
Yeah.
And so he did like that whole bit, but it's like every last bit of that stuff, like most of his lines were just improv.
Yeah. He went to Benson.
Oh, so he's a Portland guy.
Yeah, he's born and raised in Portland.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Joel David Moore went to Benson High School and then Southern Oregon University, where he performed two summers at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a rite of passage, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, when you're in the theater department. Yeah,
like
is.
You, that's like your Broadway, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He got a bachelor in fine arts.
Nah, it's not surprising.
Yeah.
Shout out to him, though. He's great in Dodgeball, too.
Yeah, Dodgeball, Grandma's Boy.
He's got some cult classics in there.
American Hustle he was in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What you got?
He was in a movie called Wieners. With Kenan Thompson.
Hmm.
No, that one wasn't great. It's just a bunch of filler.
Oh,
he was in Avatar.
Yeah,
I'll let that one.
Yeah,
go.
He was one of the doctors or whatever with
yeah,
what's her name from Alien?
Dang, he's been in a lot of stuff, man.
He's a good supporting actor,
dude. He's in all of the Avatars, mm-hmm. And he's going to be in the new Avatar.
Did you just blank on Sigourney Weaver?
Yeah, I totally did. Yeah. Totally did.
Hmm.
Look, I'm not a smart man,
and he's also in the movie Kinda Pregnant.
Hmm.
Is that Amy Schumer? Is that who's in that? Yeah. Yeah, yes. That's a Netflix one.
Yeah, everybody has their things. If I see Amy Schumer in something, I have zero interest in it. I have negative interest in it.
Yeah, a lot of people have that.
I do not
about
find
her
funny.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that way about her.
Just it fun vacuum.
Mm.
Like I see her and the fun leaves the room.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
I get it. Some people love her. That's your thing. Go for it. I want no part of it.
Yeah. I'm indifferent on Amy Schumer. I don't hate her. Some things have been funny.
Mm-hmm.
The movie Trainwreck had really funny parts, John Cena, but it also was so cringy. Like,
yeah.
That's why you don't like her. She lives in cringe.
And I don't find that funny at all.
Yeah, I'm with you on, it gets too cringy and you're like, I'm out.
It's the Michael Cera. Is the dude version of that for me. I just don't find him funny at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How about Aubrey Plaza?
Do love her because it's like, I'm okay with deadpan. I like.
But hers is just making people feel awkward and cringy.
Yeah, but it's like the deadpan of it all. I don't know.
What we're finding is that Aubrey Plaza's hot enough for you to overlook all that.
Something about her, though. I always found her like, always found her interesting because she was in, what was the X-Men show? I can't remember it. God dang it. It was an FX series. I really liked her in, too.
No idea.
But yeah, no, I like Aubrey Plaza.
All right. Okay.
I did like it when Rihanna slapped the living hell out of Michael Cera. Do you know the story about that? The World is Ending or whatever that one is called?
No.
End of the World?
No.
Channing Tatum plays a gimp.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Remember that.
There's a scene in there where he asked Rihanna if he could slap her on the butt, and she said, sure, as long as I can slap you back.
Oh, yeah.
And he does, and she slaps the, like, the cut they used for the movie was her slapping the taste out of his mouth. And I was like, God, that was great. But it was not fake. It was not a little love tap. Like, she slapped the taste out of his mouth. That's when I found Michael Cera funny.
Good. Good. All right, let's get this show on the road, shall we? All right, we got Peyton Pritchard wins Sixth Man of the Year. Hey, congrats to the Westland native.
There you go. Also, Legion was the name of the show I've totally blanked on.
Sure, Legion. There we go. Never heard of it. Mm. You said Legion, I went...
Trippy show.
Nope.
Trippy show.
No idea. We've got more NFL draft news and notes that are coming out, including injury concerns regarding Derek Harmon.
Hmm.
And which team or which player Jim Harbaugh is in love with.
Hmm.
It'll be a surprise to everybody Shocking. That's out there. But where we got to start this bad boy off, game two's in the NBA playoffs. Not a great night Tuesday night was. Hmm. It was not must-see TV.
Easy there, Yoda.
It was not. But the Indiana Pacers take a 2-0 series lead over the Milwaukee Bucks. And by golly, there's some real bona fide hate in those two teams. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. We got some real life hate in the NBA playoffs. And it is in a series where the home team has held serve and took a 2-0 series lead. Indiana beats the Milwaukee Bucks 123-115. Bucks were getting the doors blown off them. Fourth quarter run, they get it to within two with like two and a half minutes to go.
Yeah, Dame hit a 30-foot three.
Oh, no way.
To get it to two, and then Pascal Siakam came down and hit a three to get it to five.
And they end up winning 123-115, Indiana does. But we had two dust-ups in that game, one early, one late. And
Hallie.
You don't – well, first one was just Siakam and Gary Trent Jr. going at it. And then Halliburton and Dame, they continue to go at each other. Mm-hmm. And Halliburton won this matchup in the first one that they've had because Dame played 37 minutes in his first game back.
Look, Dame did about as good as I possibly could have expected, not having played basketball in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, he was fine. But here's the problem for the Bucks: Giannis has been the best player in the playoffs through two games. Like, I don't even think that's a contention. He's been unreal.
14 of 20, 34 points, 18 rebounds, 7 assists last night.
I mean, good God. We were talking about how efficient, you know, Kawhi was, but like, Giannis has done this in both games. He was 14 of 23 in game one.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, he only had one assist. I'm like, it's not for lack of trying. They just couldn't hit a damn shot. Giannis has been freaking credible. Bobby Portis may have played the game of his life last night. 6 of 11 from 3, 28 points, was 11 boards. It wasn't enough. And like, you're looking up and down like, can Dame get to being himself or at least a facsimile of himself? Is Dame scoring 8 more points enough?
Well, no, because he and Giannis don't complement each other when they play basketball. And individually, they are two really good players. But you saw it kind of last night. It's more of a your turn, my turn thing. Instead of playing together and we're going to see kind of where the dust settles, it's a weird matchup that everybody thinks should work very well, and it just isn't.
The human element just never factors into this stuff when you're talking about it. And look, I was one of the biggest bell ringers on the planet for this being the best pick and roll pairing maybe ever, well, and it's just never turned into that.
They rang the bell on this. Yeah. They wanted to play with each other, and it just hasn't worked the way that we thought it would work.
I don't want to throw all the blame at Giannis's feet, because this is the thing about great players. Everybody talks about, oh, it's their ability to adjust. No, it's not. Great players make everybody else around them better. That's how they do it, particularly in basketball. This whole like adjustment thing, it never works, because especially at this point in your career, you are who you are. You don't learn new tricks. LeBron has always been the pass first guy.
Yeah.
He didn't just like start passing first. He didn't like it's so if you have a guy like LeBron who has that built into him, that's fine. Had Giannis spent most of his career being a pick and roll guy, I think maybe it would have worked. But he didn't spend the first 10 years of his career as a pick and roll dive guy, he spent most of his career with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. The guy who really pops to mind that has acquiesced very well is James Harden, but he's going back to the way he started his career.
Yeah.
He went from being a secondary tertiary facilitator to being a bona fide ball in my hand all the time.
The
I take all the shots.
Heliocentric guy ever.
And I score back to, all right, I understand where I'm. And he and Kawhi play really well alongside each other.
Even that, though, is a your turn, my turn, but it's one that's understood.
Yes.
Because when they run pick and roll, they don't typically run pick and roll. Like, Kawhi is an isolation monster. He is not a let's go spread pick and roll. He's gonna run a pick, maybe, and get a switch. And it doesn't really matter. Like, if you looked at, like, there was a couple times in the game against the Nuggets where he got Michael Porter Jr. He was trying to get him a switch, and MPJ didn't. And Kawhi said, all right. He didn't care.
But,
like, with Harden, though, when they go spread pick and roll, it's Harden and Zoo, and they're going to spread you out and manipulate the floor. It's a very different your turn, my turn.
But they have a way to emphasize Harden's game.
Mm-hmm.
And, obviously, Kawhi just does it by himself.
Yeah.
Literally by himself. He can be whoever he wants to be. And that's a little bit different in stylistically the way that they play. I want to get to the hate in this series, though, because if there's going to be something that gets this series back to being watchable,
right?
That's what it's going to be. And Tyrese Halliburton talked about it after the game. We'll get to that after Rust with SportsCenter. The Indiana Pacers hold a 2-0 series lead over the Milwaukee Bucks with a 123-115 victory last night. That it didn't seem even as close as the final score indicated. The Bucks got it to 2, but the answers were quick by Indiana.
Literally the next possession, Siakam hit a 3.
They are, and if you look at it, Indiana's killing Milwaukee with balance, right?
They're a deep team, man.
No player scored over 25 points. Six players scored 14 or more, including all five in their starting five, right? And then you look at the disparity of Milwaukee, and this is like where it's star-driven league, right? Giannis goes for 34, Portis goes for 28, Dame goes for 14. Other than that, you didn't get many shots or production, especially from Kyle Kuzma, who, goodness gracious, he was, I guess, better than game one, but...
I mean, the bar is the floor.
Buzz's girlfriend, woof.
Yeah.
But there is some real hate. Siakam and Gary Trent Jr. got into it. Halliburton got into it. And Dame bowed up and chested up with him later in the game. And afterwards, Tyrese Halliburton was asked about the contentiousness between Damian Lillard and him.
We're just competitors. I think that's what it is. He wants to win. I want to win. It's the highest level. You know, we're in the highest level in the most contentious moment in the playoffs. He wants to win. I want to win. You know, we want to win. They want to win. So it's just competition at the end of the day. But yeah, I mean, we don't have to sit here and act like, you know, it's any secret. We don't like them. They don't like us. And that's just what it is. And they live for this. We live for this. So, you know, I could care less. I'm out here just trying to help my team win games. So there's got to be a little bit back and forth. There's got to be a little back and forth. But I'm here to win.
Two things on that. First is I did not have in my mind Tyrese Halliburton sounding like a strength and conditioning coach of a college football team.
Oh, have you never heard Hallie talk before?
Well, that was a little bit more raspy than usual. And obviously he was chirping a lot.
Yeah.
But he has strength and conditioning coach vibes over that voice.
No, he does.
Yeah.
Like, his voice does not match what he looks like at all.
No, no. I mean, he sounds like he's about to yell at you to get ass to grass.
Mm-hmm.
Get your squats down.
100%.
Yeah. But the other thing is, it's real, and it's a natural. This is like an old school rivalry where it's two competitors who are going to let each other know at every turn who's got the upper hand. And right now, Halliburton has the upper hand in spades over Damian Lillard.
Well, I mean, that's to be expected with Dame missing 6 weeks. I think that's... Honestly, I think the way Dame played last night was about the best you're going to get from a guy who didn't play. Played 37 minutes after not playing for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I'm going with, though, like, it's going back to last year, too.
Oh, yeah.
No, Halliburton has the upper hand. Mm-hmm. Like, take last night out of it. Mm-hmm. Going back to last year, what pissed Dame off the most when Hallie was doing Dame time In his face after mm-hmm. they won. Yeah, he's got the upper hand on it.
Hallie's got some instigator in him. And I'm a big fan of Hallie. I really am. I love the way he plays the game. Yeah. And I think when we talked about before he went to break was the idea of like how many guys scored for the Pacers. And that's not the mark usually of a title contending team. Cause you mm-hmm. need to have like, if Pascal Siakam is your best player, or Hallie is your best player, you have to have a lot of other things to kind of overcome. And again, I love Hallie and I really think Pascal is a really good player, but as you get further into the playoffs, like if you're kind of playing that way, it usually doesn't bode well for you. But on the flip side of that, I think it's kind of the Steve Nash paradox, where it's like you have a guy that in Hallie, who's a great shooter, who's more interested in keeping his team going. And really the only guy that's ever done that and won a title is Chauncey.
Mm.
I mean, you can be like, well, what about Dumars and Isaiah Thomas? I'm like, well, Isaiah Thomas was a bucket.
Like, also true.
That's the difference. Is like, yeah, those like Dumars was not the sideshow, but he was the clear number two of that. I mean, it's IT and him being a monster. Like, that's different than what they do here. And the only other player I think that was like him, and they had so many other alphas, is Rondo.
Oh, yeah.
Where, for those that don't know, like, Rajon Rondo is damn near a savant. And I'm not just talking about basketball, just in general. He's like an incredibly high-level chess player. He just sees the floor. Like, there's a straight line you can draw between guys like Rondo, Nash, Hallie. Their brains just work different.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, there's plenty of ego, but their ego comes from how they're able to set guys up and generate things. And it's a very, like, they just, it sounds so corny, they just see the game differently.
Mm-hmm.
They process the game differently. Like, Jokic is a bit like that, where he's hesitant to shoot sometimes.
Sure.
But it's like their brain is just wired to play the game very differently. And so it's interesting when you see Halliburton be so successful, you know, air quotes, but he's not dropping, you know, 30 and 10. It's a different kind of get off the ball, get on the ball orchestration. That's just, it's hard to really pin down, but it's really fun and interesting to run. Whereas like when you had the matchups with Dame and Russ, it was two apex predators going at it.
Yeah.
This is these are two guys that were very good, but they're like, when you talk about styles make fights, like this is like the most awkward style matchup ever. Like there's like, they aren't going to go, they're going to go at each other, but they're going to go at each other so differently.
Yeah. And they're more going to go at each other with their words.
Yeah.
More than anything else. And it did not help that Tyrese Halliburton had a little extra ammo yesterday. As we all know with all of these guys, all of the ammo, it seems to work. And we talked about this at the end of yesterday's show. Tyrese Halliburton in the anonymous players poll from The Athletic, he was voted the most overrated player in the entire NBA.
Mm.
And his coach, Rick Carlisle,
didn't like it.
Went to bat for him. I thought, I love this from Rick Carlisle.
I heard about this, and the other guys on the list were Jimmy Butler and Giannis. Right? And I want to see the guys' faces that voted those guys. I want to see the faces of those guys. All right? This is a poll. Not everybody even answered in the poll. All right? Guys were able to answer if they wanted to. They were asked on camera or with a microphone. The whole thing's okay? And it's just, it's really a shameful thing. It's just a shameful thing. All right? Jimmy Butler would be a finalist for MVP if, you know, he had gotten to Golden State a month and a half earlier. I mean, what that guy's done. And Giannis, are you kidding me? I'm done. Thank you.
I love that. But you could tell Halliburton had a little oomph and a little more vinegar to him in his, you know, pee and vinegar.
I love Carlisle. I think he's a great coach. I think he obviously has his warts with his interpersonal relationships, which he has made significant leaps and growths in since his time in Dallas, because him and Luka, you know, kind of went against each other. And Jamal Mosley was the peacemaker between those two. And I think Rick has advanced beyond that stuff. And it's showing with what he's done with the Pacers. But there's also some Woody Johnson from the Jets ownership from the NFL poll of like not even everybody voted in this. Like, I didn't, and it's like, come, Rick, you know, like, I'm glad that he went to bat for him. Like he should, But he knows what this is. Well, guys don't like him.
It's high school. You mentioned this yesterday. It's high school.
Yeah, guys don't like him.
And that's what it is. And that's why he wants to see their face, though, is because it's like, what are high school? Talking behind people's back and a lot of catty claws out.
I'm sure Rick has done an anonymous coach's comment a time or two.
Oh, well, I bet he has as well. But hey, it's always different when your guy.
Yeah, no,
when it's your guy.
Look, he even acknowledged it, but the whole idea of like, I'd like to see him say this, Look, there are guys, we were talking about this before the show, there are guys in the NBA that sit there and say, Rudy Gobert is trash, like his media generated four defensive player of the years, and it's like, Luka hunted him last night, and he got him a couple times early in the game. In one-on-one matchups last night, Rudy Gobert held the Lakers to 5 of 17. 5 of 17.
Yeah.
He's really freaking good defensively. And the whole idea of like, Rudy got played off the floor. He's never been played off the floor defensively. He's been played off the floor offensively.
Well,
that's the thing.
Don't like them because they are very good at what they do and their personalities just don't jive with everybody.
And then there's people that, like he mentioned Giannis in there. There's like, Giannis is probably the third best player on the planet, but you still have NBA players that don't like him because they say that all he does is just be big and dunk. It's like, he doesn't have a bag. Like, there are players in the NBA that just, I'm like, he doesn't need one. That's the point.
Yeah.
Is that he's so big, so strong, so athletic, so coordinated his size, he doesn't have to have that.
Yeah.
He's been the single best and most productive player through two games in the playoffs.
I don't know. 14 of 20 is pretty efficient, even if he can't just be big and dunk. It's different.
It's just like, you just watch him play, and like, so people are like, he can't hezzy, tween, pull up, you know, Jimbo. And it's like, okay, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, I think there is value, though, in the anonymous polls.
Because
people that will say things that they normally wouldn't say, and you get their true feelings. But also, you get a lot of guys that will say things that are just out of pocket
and
absolutely crazy. And we'll talk about some of those things coming up later, because Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, whoa, Nelly.
It's not just
some people unloaded on prospects, including Shedeur Sanders. But where we got to go next is a big name up for trade. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Jordan Schultz, not of 1080 the Fan, but of NFL reporting.
Of Starbucks fame?
Yes, that one. At Schultz Report, Fox Sports, NFL Insider. He has quite the report today as we are inching closer and closer to the NFL draft. Multiple teams have brought up trading for wide receiver George Pickens of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this the Steelers aren't shopping George Pickens. But if you look at Pittsburgh, their history, it doesn't seem like his time is long in Pittsburgh.
Well, I mean, we heard grumblings about this a year ago.
Yeah.
About him being frustrated. I mean, Pickens is he's a diva. And he's, I wouldn't say a full-on disruptor, but he's on the sliding scale.
And this is, the interesting thing, though, is it's not in the Steelers' identity to pay two receivers high-end money, and they already have DK Metcalf, which they will be paying high-end money to.
And Pickens is in the last year of his deal.
And being in the last year of this deal, though, it is attractive to another team because you get him for 1 year, $3.5 million, but you also have the ability to franchise tag him, and you can go through this year without going through those contentious extension conversations, and you could still work on a long-term deal kind of with a fresh start. If the Steelers are kind of backed into a corner because they know who he is, they know how he fits, they know where the friction is in all of the relationships that he has, whether it's with coaches, other players, or front office. With a new team, you kind of have this buffer zone where every player would obviously want to have a long-term extension put in place as part of a trade. But in this situation, you could say, hey, we understand we can talk about an extension, but reality of it is, let's see how you fit in here, how we like you and how you like us, and maybe you play this year out.
It's I think it's a beneficial position for the Steelers to be in. Typically, I don't think I'd say that about a wide receiver going into a contract year, But because of the reasons you laid out, the fact that he would be so inexpensive could actually lead to a team giving up something of real value because they're so up against it and they're looking at this year and then they go, okay, we'll figure it out kind of a deal. Because the NFL is so much about year to year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think you've got a real window, do you go, hey, maybe he is a guy that we can add to our team. And yeah, it's going to cost us something of significant value. Not a first, obviously, but like something of significant value. Do you kick the tires on that because it makes sense for you from a contractual standpoint?
It is a fascinating conversation to be had 24 hours before the draft starts, right? We are talking about a high-end receiver in a draft where high-end receivers are few and far between, mm-hmm. not like it's last year's class. You can get the guy on the cheap, and Pittsburgh can kind of position themselves to look at how the day one draft board falls early in day two, and that's where you may see George Pickens. If there's a run on receivers and a team is on the outside looking in where they thought they were going to be able to get a guy, they get some draft capital back. They get a little bit cheaper talent, and then they already know we've got a wide receiver one for whoever our quarterback is, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or not.
And I think that's the interesting thing about the Steelers, that I think that they historically have preferred that flexibility.
Yeah. His name popping up, I don't think a lot of people expected, but here we are. And if he's going to be a squeaky wheel, you don't get the grease, you get sent out of town in Pittsburgh, and now they got DK Metcalf.
Unless your name is Hines Ward, you're tradable.
You're damn right. Or Cam Hayward.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking wide receivers.
Yeah.
Like there hasn't been a great wide receiver there since Hines Ward that was not.
He was there forever.
Yeah. Who wasn't basically available at some point in time.
Yeah. And
the Steelers
are really good at knowing when to cut bait with guys. There's something about like Mike Tomlin working in toxic relationships. He's really good at it.
I mean, you go up and down the list of guys for the Steelers, whether it's Antonio Brown. I mean,
George Pickens, Le'Veon Bell. Like he's had a
James Harrison.
He's had a lot of them.
Harrison's nuts. Now they keep him around the organization.
Yeah. Yeah. Have a little crazy around.
Yeah. I mean,
it's good to have.
I think Tomlin thrives in that environment.
Yeah. All right. The NFL draft does get underway tomorrow, and there's a lot of news rumbling around the NFL draft, and some of it pertains to an Oregon Duck with concerns popping up. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.